message of the 10th of July from René Carraro. The reading today is in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21-35, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sisters who sin against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, "I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Let's pray. O Lord, we stand before you to hear only you and receive your love and forgiveness. It is true, Lord, that we must say and say again all the love that you promised to the chosen ones and the sacrifice that you underwent in the cross, and that also invokes your name. Thank you for your forgiveness, and now, Lord, may we silence all outside noise to hear only you. Amen. A letter to a prisoner. "Thank you for your letter. I understand that you have doubts about God's forgiveness of you. Although I have no idea what caused you to be imprisoned in St. Paul's, I think I should tell you that God forgives even the greatest of sinners. This is demonstrated by the story of the robber on the cross, crucified at Jesus' side. After he had acknowledged his guilt and asked the Lord, 'Remember me when you come into your kingdom,' Jesus grants him divine forgiveness in these words: 'You have understood that repentance and confession of sins are the only way to heaven. If we trust in Christ and the value of his work, our debt to God we can never pay, but Jesus paid it for us by giving his life on the cross.' Some might say that God forgives when he wants. Well, he forgives, but his forgiveness only becomes effective if we accept it. It depends on us. If we ask God for forgiveness with faith and repentance, it is up to us, once this forgiveness has been acquired, to make reparation as far as possible for the wrongs we have caused and to ask forgiveness of our victims." Here is what they say about the letter to a prisoner, Colossians 3. Verses 12 to 14. "So then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourself with the bowels of mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if one is caused to complain about the other, forgive one another, just as Christ forgave you. But above all these things, put on love, which is the good of perfection." When Jesus speaks of forgiveness, he does not say up to 7 times, but up to 70 times 7 times. If we have someone who has wronged us with the love of Christ, we don't have to forgive seven times. I would say once enough if we are sincere. Jesus forgave us once and for all. He went to the cross for that. A few years ago, we bought an old house to restore. After 5 years of work, we put in a tenant. 2 years later, the couple separated. The wife left and he started drinking. The rent stopped coming in, and after more than a year, we had to evict him. The flat was devastated and had to be redone to restore it. Sometime later, I met the tenant and I asked him where he was with his problems. He answered very badly. After exchanging a few words, I told him that only the Lord could get him out of his problems and gave him a small Gospel of St. John. When a Christian says, "I want to forgive, but I can't forget," now this gentleman has forgotten his debt, surely, and by force of circumstance. Dear friends, divine forgiveness calls us to total forgiveness, which is, forgive us our trespasses. The word tells us, for if you do not forgive men, your heavenly Father will not forgive you your trespasses either. And if we say, "I forgive, but I don't want anything more to do with this person, and I won't even say hello to them," it is not always possible to estimate how much harm we can do with just a few words. This is a far cry from the Lord's forgiveness. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." True forgiveness is not possible without a spirit of sacrifice and without the triumph of love. When we look to the cross, we receive this power, the power to forgive. There is power in forgiveness. Why? Because God says so. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," we read in Matthew 6, verse 12. I read a testimony of a man who committed a murder. He killed a young man, and the young man's mother forgave the murderer. It has not been easy for her. Earlier, she used to visit him in prison and bring him oranges. God lifts up the one who forgives. In Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4, "If thou didst keep the memory of iniquities eternal, O Lord, who could stand? But forgiveness is found with thee, that thou mayest be feared." A strong sense of guilt can lead us to believe that God can no longer forgive us. One day I was testifying to a lady and she said, "Oh, sir, God can never forgive me," and she started crying, and I suggested she pray. Christ said, "This is my blood shed for the remission of sins." And the Epistle to the Hebrews states that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Forgiveness is given to us freely by grace with no other condition than repentance and faith in Christ. The greatest forgiveness of all time, that of the cross. In his infinite love, God is always ready to welcome us and to forgive us completely. So it depends on our acceptance. But beware, today is the day of salvation, tomorrow may be too late. Let us remember then that forgiveness is with him. He never tires of forgiving. Jesus Christ did not die for nothing. He accomplished everything so that we could be freed from all our faults. Many people today are crying out, "Give me." It is a cry full of insistence. If everyone received everything they asked for, would our society be better for it? Would the number of crimes, divorces and abortions decrease instantly? When will the world realise that there is a more important cry than "Give me"? This cry is "Forgive me." Such a prayer addressed to God in all sincerity by one who is aware of his needs leads the person into a new life. If we are tested, he will make us steadfast. If you live in trial, he will always give you the possibility to come out, because we must always walk by faith. The Lord is all-powerful. We have a God who delivers, a God who heals. He does not want us to lament, for we have a wonderful God who invites us to strengthen ourselves and take courage. Forgiveness, peace, then become the true riches that God has always desired us to enjoy. I remember during my accident or after my accident, some people said, he must have done something wrong for him to have fallen. God has punished him. I reassure you that this does not come from the church. Hearing such nonsense is very painful. Oh, I am aware that before our Lord we are sinful beings. And I often say to some people that they are more perfect than me, but the difference between them and me is that I am a forgiven sinner. Of course, when we know the Lord, we are not allowed to do anything. The child of God has the Holy Spirit to enlighten him and warn him of what is permissible to do or not to do. John the Baptist, what did he do to have his head cut off? What did Stephen do to get stoned? And all the other apostles who all passed through an atrocious death, what did they do? Jesus, the righteous one, the spotless Lamb of God, the only one without sin, the one who took our sin, why was he nailed to the cross? He offered his hands and feet with to be nailed to the executioners. When one makes a firm resolution to serve Jesus Christ, one will always be called into difficulties at times. If we want to have the strength to forgive, we have to look at the cross. Everything is connected to the cross. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Forgive, being forgiven. We can only understand this if we have full confidence in the Lord and are filled and animated by the Spirit of Christ, according to what it says. If someone does not have the Spirit of Christ, it does not belong to him. I remember the day I took my wife to Bordeaux for surgery. When I left her, I must admit I left in tears. After an hour's drive to get home, I was still desperate. When we talk about trust, I think there are several levels of trust. For me, there is trust and total trust, and I realised that I did not have this total trust. And one night in my room, I fell to my knees in tears and asked the Lord for forgiveness for this lack of trust. And a few years later, the same route was taken for another operation, again for my wife, which was much more serious than the first. And I remember leaving her with serenity and peace in my heart. In the parable we have read of the generous master, which brings out on the one hand the impossible situation of the indebted person, and the other hand the equally extraordinary generosity of the master. And a ruthless servant, his cruelty shows that he has not received the forgiveness that was offered to him. Therefore the teacher treats him as if the acquittal had not been given. Similarly, we may sometimes hold a grudge against someone for small things and forgetting the great mercy that God has already shown us. If this is the case, why not go today and free this person from his or her debt to us? If God is able to erase the memory of my past, what is to stop me from doing the same for my neighbour? You may say that I agree, but I don't have the strength. With such honesty, God will not deny you his help. Let us tell God that we are ready to forgive and ask for his help to forget. Once this prayer has been uttered, the answer comes. One cannot expect an answer from above when one refuses to forgive one's neighbour who one sees. Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. And when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. In conclusion, it is almost normal to have such an attitude sometimes. Because we are human beings, it is normal to experience feelings of doubt, frustration, weakness and loneliness. Carrying, we are never alone. Christ is always in us. Perhaps you think today you're the only person who is tempted. All believers go through trials. The solution is to hand the problem over to God right away. You know this passage from the paralytic. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Is that surprising? Didn't they bring their friend for Jesus to heal him? Certainly, but Jesus knows that this man was suffering from a much more serious problem than his paralysis, that of sin. That is why he goes straight to the point with this magnificent pardon. We too ask for forgiveness before we are healed. He wants us all to be well, but let us know that the greatest good he can give us is the forgiveness of our sins and peace with God. Psalm 37 verses 23 and 24. When a man's conduct pleases him, if that man has just fallen, he does not stay down, for the Lord takes him by the hand. Many years ago, I was watching my grandson's first steps, and at every step he was down, his mother would reach out to him, sometimes myself, to get him back on his feet. For the Christian, it is the same thing. Learn to walk with God, and when we fall, let us reach out to him to grasp his merciful hand. He was aware of their weaknesses and their need for strengthening. He gave them this promise. Yes, today he is speaking to us too. I will ask the Father to give you the Holy Spirit to help you, the Spirit of truth, that it may be with you always. Let us learn to rely always on his presence, on his promises, and to live entirely dependent on the Holy Spirit and the certainty of eternal life. And above all, the victory of forgiveness. God has made a promise to us that he will never abandon us. Amen.